So as I said, we're going to do a practice opening to the dukkha, the struggle in the body, but also other aspects of body experience, the pleasant, the unpleasant, as well as the neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Now I sent you the little diagram, which you would have seen before back in Mindful Living and in Mindful Living Grad. And one of our members from the other group kindly added in the arrows for us so I could send this to you digitally. And so let's just take a look at it to remind ourselves what we're doing here with this practice of noticing feeling tone. So feeling tone is the second foundation of mindfulness. Body is the first foundation, and that includes body awareness of breathing. Just turn up my volume, thank you. So first we have body. Then we have feeling tone as places to practice. So what is meant by this? Now, the Pali word vedana is a better word in this case because we can get confused by the word feeling. We start thinking of emotions and only thinking of emotions. Or we start thinking of body sensations and only thinking of body sensations. So when we're talking about vedana, we are talking about the flavor of experience as pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. We're talking about kind of the valence, if that means something to you, positive or negative, yeah, as valence. And so we might pause it in this little schematic at the top, consciousness. And a body, and in fact, those pieces are all part of this chain, but I've left them out just to keep it focused on vedana. We come to the point where we make contact through our consciousness and through our sense organs, through the body. Yeah, you can nod your head if you're still following me. Okay, and in this formulation, we also include the mind as a sense organ, as a place where contact occurs. And the mind is not just thoughts, it's also images, it's emotions and moods, it's memories. Yeah, so there's a lot of pieces in there that we can make contact with, whether in formal practice or informal practice. So we make contact with our world. And of course, contact is happening moment to moment to moment to moment all the time, as is vedana. So each experience in life has a flavor to it of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So if we take a look at the pleasant, so we have the pleasant experience, say, of the mind of contemplating eating a lovely food. Think of your favorite lovely food, whatever that may be. I like chocolate. And that's a pleasant thought. And then if we go down the chart, there's liking. And then the liking progresses into a craving. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. And so there's already this kind of reaching out into the world. Where can I find it? Let's see the nods. Yeah. You might pause it already. We're suffering, especially if we pay attention. There's a suffering in that craving. And when you think about addiction, ooh, yes, suffering and the craving. And then we go farther and we grasp after it. We get that thing, or we're really holding on tight to it in our minds. And that experience, as we pay attention, even though it started with something pleasant, we can experience as stressful. And because we understand things are impermanent, we know this pleasant thing is disappearing even as it's appearing. We have the wisdom to know this. And even if we don't have the wisdom, we do intuit it. This is dukkha. This is unsatisfactoriness, unreliability, stress. This is suffering. So that's that chain of reactivity coming down the pleasant. So it behooves us to notice moments that are pleasant, and can we just abide with them? Notice them arising and passing. And through the holiday season, so important. Then we can cherish without clinging beautiful moments or beautiful item of food, whatever it may be. Now, if we go to the opposite side of the chart, we've got the unpleasant stream, which I think, you know, within a context of struggles with depression and anxiety, there tends to be more familiarity. One moment. Okay, so as I was saying, so if we look down the other side of the schematic at the unpleasant, which we might be more familiar with, so we have an experience that is unpleasant. This is very familiar for all of us in our bodies, the various aches and pains in the body. All bodies are subject to aches and pains, sickness, ultimately death. This is how it is. Unpleasantness of aging with its limitations. This is what we call dukkha, right? The dukkha that just is a part of being alive as an earthling. It's unpleasant, but then we take it a little farther and we go, oh, this is so unpleasant. Oh, I don't like this. And it's very quick and we're wanting to push it away. And it's very quick. We're into aversion, which is another kind of clinging, right? Because we are craving the pleasant inherently in that. And we are clinging to some vision of things being different from how they are, right? So we are inherently not mindful in those moments, right? Because being with things as they are, with an open heart, this is mindfulness. So we get caught in aversion, and that whole chain is one mess of suffering. I think you all know that. And it often flips us to the other side. Oh, my body's feeling so terrible. I think I'll eat chocolate. Right? Which then compounds the situation. But we can see with both the pleasant and the unpleasant that we take what is a passing moment and we inflict second arrows into them. Yeah, of wanting things to be different. Or blaming or shaming. Now, the middle piece is interesting by virtue of it being not interesting. So this is when an experience is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Short form for that is neutral, but technically it's better to say neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And if you pay attention to the body, most of what's happening in the body is neither. Most of our experience in life is neither. So we're not liking or disliking, going down the flow, and we start to become oblivious to experience. We're like fish in the sea. We don't notice the water. But because of that, we're not in touch, and we can even go so far as going into delusion, which you're familiar with from mindful living, automatic pilot, yeah? And what I like to call la-la land. And when we're in any form of delusion, that is, in my experience, is inherently stressful, is a form of suffering. That's something to inquire about within oneself. Is there dukkha inherent in being out of touch with things? Yeah. So that's our schemata that we're going to be working with our practice today, going into the walking and then into the sitting. And we're going to be noticing feeling tone of the body. One last thing to be aware of, the feeling tone or the Vedana does not reside in the object. Chocolate is not inherently pleasant. Sensations in the body are not always inherently unpleasant. The breath isn't inherently neutral, just to give examples. The Vedana resides in the mind. It is a function of the mind. And so we can notice that when we pay attention to the Vedana, it may change. What was originally neutral, for example, like the breath, as we deepen awareness, becomes very interesting, becomes quite pleasant. Or as we pay attention to an unpleasant sensation in the body, the heightening of our awareness becomes very pleasant. And even though the sensation may be dukkha dukkha, the holding of it overall is quite pleasant, to have the awareness that keen. Yeah, and so on. And also one other last thing is, so the Vedana resides in the mind, not in the objects. And Vedana is an experience that is happening through all the sense doors. Pleasant, unpleasant sounds. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neither, of course. Sights, right? Smells, taste, touch, mind experiences. Yeah? So all aspects, so not to confuse it with emotion. All right, so that's just a little review of Vedana. And I do encourage you to use the term Vedana because it is more precise and more encompassing. All right, so I hope that's helpful for our practice that we go into. And I did record this for you.